Hey, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we will start with the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 8, starting with the 18th verse. Today, we are on a climax of our Global Impact Celebration. We've had an amazing week. Wednesday night was unbelievable. We had a great time of being with our missionaries on Thursday, and Friday night with Marty Guest was great. We've had the booths, and people have come, had an opportunity to get to meet and to talk and to learn a little bit more about our missionaries. But now we come to a service in which, in fact, into a day to where we are to make commitments. And it's interesting that your weather gets bad on a day when people are supposed to be making commitments. But for each one that's here today, this is when we will be challenged to see, are we willing to make a commitment to help the Great Commission continue forward with what we've been called to do? And so today, we're going to find out, each one of us, where we are. We'll be in either one of two places. We will either be finding ourselves standing on the shore, or we'll find ourselves stepping in a boat. And it'll be up to each one of us to make that decision. And we'll make that decision today. When you look in this passage of Scripture, it is a passage of where Jesus is pretty early in his ministry. He's finished the Sermon on the Mount. You come into chapter 8. There's some healing taking place. And he had gone into Peter's house. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And Peter's house is right there near the Sea of Galilee. And so he's right there on the sea. And you pick up in verse 18, and it says, "Now when Jesus saw a great crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead.' And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and they woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' And then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?'" Now, Jesus has finished healing, and he's been there at Peter's house, and he looks over and he says, "Hey guys, it's time to go to the other side." And what he's saying is, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's time to go. Well, was he just talking to those 12 disciples, or was it an open invitation to more? Well, you would assume it was an open invitation to more, because two guys came up and they said, "Hey, I'll follow you wherever you go." He said, "Hey, I'm going to the other side. Why don't you come with me?" But each one of those guys ended up having an excuse as to why they shouldn't go with him. And so what they ended up doing is they ended up standing on the shore. Now, it's interesting. These guys are all standing on the shore. Jesus says, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side." And they came up and said, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And then Jesus says a little bit about commitment. And so they back off and they end up staying on the shore. And the boat goes on without them. Now, what is it about the guys that are ended up standing on the shore? Well, there's two things you learn from these men, and this is what they are. Number one, the first thing is the cost is too high for a sacrificial commitment. The cost is just too high for a sacrificial commitment. And I mean, these guys, they're part of the crowd. They've heard Jesus teach. In fact, if you take a look at how it describes him, it says, and a scribe came up to him. I mean, the scribe, these are the guys like the teachers of the law. I mean, they know the law. And these guys have been hanging with Jesus, and they've been listening to him teach. And as they've listened to him teach, they came forth, and they make this bold statement. And he says, "I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm with you, man." And didn't the crowd love that? I mean, all the crowd, they're standing around here and they're getting ready to wave goodbye to him. And this guy steps up and he says, "I'm the man. I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'll follow you." Big talk. Big talker. And everyone else is impressed with this guy. So, "Hey, look at that guy. Yo, hey, I'll go with you. Wherever you go, I'm there with you. I'm the man." You just tell me where, Jesus, I'm right there with you. Jesus says, okay, big fella, let me just share this with you. He says, you know, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What is he saying? Hey, we may not be staying at Holiday Inn. We may not be staying in Motel 6. I've got no idea where we'll be staying tonight. We could be camping out in the snow. We could be under the stars. He says, I really can't tell you. You just gonna have to trust me. I will tell you, it's probably not going to be an easy trip. Well, all of a sudden, what did this guy do? He backed off. And when you look at the other accounts of this, it's very evident. He didn't go with Jesus. He said, oh, I'll go with you anywhere. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you what this commitment will require. And all of a sudden, what he said was this. He said, it's too high. He says, the commitment is just too high. He says, the cost is too high for me to make that type of sacrificial commitment. You see, when everybody's all excited and talking about the great things that are going on, it's easy to say, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll make whatever commitment, whether it be financial commitment or life commitment. But as soon as he begins to put sacrifice in there, then we begin to back off and say, well, I don't know about that. You see, the cost is a little bit too high for me to do that. This guy was looking for comfort. Let me ask you, what are you looking for in your commitment to Christ? In your commitment that in just a few moments when we ask our people, each person here to say, will you be willing to make some type of financial sacrificial commitment to say, I would like to help to give, to make Jesus known so that we can make Jesus known across the street and around the world. Question is, are you willing to do that? Or will you say, that's just too high. I like coming to church. I love sitting in the pews. I love singing the songs. But when it comes to giving the money, I'm not so sure about that. Are you going to be standing on the shore? Or are you going to be one that's going to be stepping in the boat? This guy got left standing on the shore. Sacrifice. It's just too high. Too high of a sacrificial commitment. But look at the second guy. Second guy says this. And another of his disciples, that's a guy that's following him. Not just one of those 12, but anyone that's been following his teachings. And so this guy says, he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now see, that sounds like a pretty good excuse. I remember the first time I read that, I said, well, that does sound pretty good. You know, apparently your dad has died. We've got a funeral in the next couple days. Just give him a couple days off and everything should be all right. No, during that day is that a person felt like they had responsibility to be there for their parents, especially for their mom or for their dad, especially for their dad, in their later years of life. And which means this guy's father could maybe be older, and it could be 5 years before he died, could be 7 years before he died. It's not like his dad had just died. It is just, I've got a commitment. I think I just need to stay here, and I'll be here with my father. And then when he does die, years down the road, then I'll be more than glad to come and to follow you. And see, what he's saying is, you know, the timing is just not right, Lord. I'm there with you. I'd be in that boat right now, but the timing just isn't right. How many of you said that before? The timing is just not right. Well, you know, a new baby just came. The timing's just not right. Well, kids are getting ready to go to college. Timing just not right. I'm not real pleased with everything going on in my life, so let me clean up my life a little bit. Timing's just not right. But I'm there with you. I'm there with you. And I'm standing on the shore over here, and I'm talking the big game. I showed up on a snowy Sunday, but now all of a sudden we got a sacrificial commitment. Timing's just not right for sacrificial commitment. And especially today, look at our economy. How can you possibly, as a pastor, stand before your people and say, hey, we need to give over and above to make Jesus known? Because as bad as our economy is, it seems like that we shouldn't be giving. We should just kind of hold on to this stuff. Well, you know, this is real dangerous for me to have to preach a sermon when I get such a short time frame, because I don't have an opportunity to filter through some of the crazy things that I would usually say. And so you get them. Nobody ever asked me my stimulus plan. And I've just, in my observations, what I've observed, it seems the more the president and Congress meet, the more of our money they spend, and the farther the stock market drops, and the worse the economy gets. So my suggestion is recess Congress, send them home for 6 months so they won't spend any more of my money and the economy will probably get better. How about that? Not a bad deal. Hey, listen, these are tough economic times, and I do not want to minimize that one bit. But are the times, are these things something that took God completely by surprise? And are we to look and say, well, economic times are tough, and so since economic times are tough, then apparently, I guess we're supposed to take God's work and just put it on the back shelf. I guess these 30-some-odd missionaries that God called, God is now looking at them and saying, boy, bad time for you to get called, wasn't it? You must have missed the call. No. They got the call right. They're still committed. They're still doing the work where they are. But what they're depending on are those of us who have been called to stay here and to be missionaries in our own Jerusalem, but yet at the same time to financially support them so they can step out all around this world. That's our responsibility. And we can't sit there and just say, well, the timing's not right. No, the timing's perfect. God's alive and well, working all around the world. He's just waiting for his people to be able to say, I'm willing to give. I'm willing to sacrifice some comforts financially so that others can live. Folks, I got some scoop for you. Our missionaries, they don't get paid commissions. They don't get extra money for the number of salvations or churches that they plant. They're pretty well fixed. And they're fixed on their incomes as to what we as the church give to them. That's our responsibility. And so when we look at this and we look at this standing on the shore or stepping in the boat, we can be sitting here saying, well, you know, it's just not a good time for sacrifice. Let me ask you, is there ever a good time for sacrifice? I got to be honest with you. In my 30-plus years of being married to Janice, I've never awakened one morning, looked at her and said, you know what, honey? This is a great day for sacrifice. Let's sacrifice today. Let's cut the budget. Let's just start giving money away. This is a great day for sacrifice. It's never a good day for sacrifice. If it was, it wouldn't be called sacrifice. Sacrificial commitment. It is when you say, God, your things are more important than my things. Your plans are more important than my plans. So maybe there's some things that I'm willing to give up and to say, you know what? This year, this is something I think I'll give up so that I can take that was planned to go to this, whatever it is, and I want to give it to make Jesus known. I want to give it to help support our missionaries. I want to be able to see the gospel begin to continue to move around the world. You see, these are the guys that had the excuses, and they ended up just standing on the shore. You see, now is the time to make that sacrificial commitment. Now is the time to respond to God's call. Now is the time to take that next step and to step in the boat. Now, these guys were not your fringe members. They weren't people who just kind of walked up and just got and kind of got involved in the crowd. These were, it says, a scribe and a disciple. These people had followed Jesus. They'd heard his teachings. They knew what he was about as much as they knew. They didn't know it all, but there was something about him and they wanted to follow. But when it came time to sacrificial commitment, they said, I'm not getting in that boat. I'm just going to stay right here on the shore. I don't think I want to get in that boat. You've heard it preached in this pulpit. You've heard testimonies from lay people. And you've known what it's like to hear others when they said, you know what, we got off the shore, we got in the boat, and it completely transformed our life. And I'm telling you, there's one thing to sit in the congregation and to listen to the messages preached here and to listen to the lay people give their testimonies. And there's another to be able to say, I'm willing to get off the shore and to step in the boat and do whatever it is that God wants me to do. And for some, I believe really for all of us, it should be, I can do something financially. Number one. Number two, life commitment. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Is to say, you know what? I'm willing to step in the boat and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll be willing to do. So you got two options. You'll either stand on the shore and join the mass crowd over here, or you can step in the boat. So that's the life of standing on the shore. A lot of bragging, a lot of boasting, a lot of woulda, coulda, shouldas, might ifs, but you're there on the shore. But it's safe. It's safe on the shore. I just want to let you know that. And you're just kind of with the crowd. You're on the shore. You're just kind of walking around. What about the guys that stepped in the boat? What happened to those guys? Well, let's look and see. In verse 23, and when he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. All right, they got in the boat. And he was going to the other side. And so was everything just wonderful and peachy keen? Was this just a wonderful experience? What happened? And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. Told you not to get in that boat, right? So that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And so when they went, they woke him. They said, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And he rose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Stepping into the boat, a sacrificial commitment. What is life like when you step into the boat? Well, when you step in that boat, you are making a step of faith and a sacrificial commitment. Mike and Carrie Lazenby in our church, I think this may have been maybe 5 years ago or so, he got a real burden. I got a real burden for some kids down in Bessemer. And so he and another member of their Sunday school class went down and began to tutor some of the kids, teenagers, down in Bessemer. And it turned out that about that same time that Bessemer received a grant to receive a computer system there at their community center. The good news is they got the computer system. The bad news is they really weren't certain how to make it work. But Mike had some experience in that and said, "I'll come and I'll help you with that." And he and some others, they helped them, and they helped to get that thing going. Well, once they helped them get that thing going, then people said, "Hey, we'd love for our kids to come and let you tutor them." And as they tutored them, guess what they were also telling them? They were sharing the gospel with them. And so while Mike Lazenby and another member of our church went down to Bessemer and began to tutor these kids every week and began to proclaim the gospel, I believe it was three teenage boys made decisions to receive Christ. Y'all remember, was it two or three? I think it was three teenage boys made decisions to receive Christ. And let me tell you, these are three African-American boys that were living in the Bessemer area on a service when this place was packed, and we gave the invitation. They walked down the aisle. And all of you know how scary it is to walk down the aisle in a big old church. These guys walked in, professed their faith in Christ in there. Why was it? It was because Mike Lazenby stepped into the boat. And then you tell you what was so neat about that that Victory Sunday, and all of you, if you were here, you'll remember it. We did a video presentation, about a 3-minute video, where Mike explained what was going on and how these young men had made decisions for Christ. And all the lights were down, the video was playing, and as soon as the video stopped, then all of a sudden the light came on in the baptistry, and there was Mike Lazenby standing there. And he had the privilege of baptizing those young men, because to them, he was their pastor. He'd led them to Christ. And when they walked in that water and that first one went under and he came up, he was smiling from ear to ear, and this place just erupted. He was excited, each one of them. And you know what's exciting about that? Mike and his wife, Carrie, for them, that wasn't all. It was just, "God, where is it you want me to go?" And they're going through their candidacy right now with the IMB and will probably be on the field shortly with the International Mission Board. He was willing to step in the boat. He just went to Bessemer. Now God's getting ready to use him somewhere else around the world. So what happens when you step in the boat? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Number one, it will stretch your understanding of who Jesus is. Whenever you step in the boat, it will stretch your understanding of who Jesus is. These people saw a revelation of Jesus that no one else had seen. Now, they'd seen him heal. He was a good teacher. They saw him heal. They've seen him do some miracles. But when he was in this boat and the storm came up and they were scared for their lives, and whenever fishermen get scared for their lives, I would be really nervous. And they're saying, "We're getting ready to perish." He wakes up, he stands up, and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and he says, "Peace, be still." And it says, as soon as he said that, everything calmed. And 12 men on the boat went, "Whoa, dude, this is something." And you know why they marveled and were amazed? Because they knew their Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, it says that God is the one that controls the wind and the waves. Now, They may have read about some other people, prophets and stuff, that have healed, done some healing. But never before had they seen someone stand, rebuke the winds and the waves. And the Old Testament says only God can do that. And they were wondering, who is this? What it did was it stretched his understanding of who Jesus is. I mean, and they saw that. And when they were a part of that, all of a sudden, it began to click a little bit more about who this Jesus is. Jesus reveals more of himself and his power to those who are willing to sacrifice. If you sacrifice, he will reveal more of himself to you consistently throughout Scripture. Is Chris here today? Chris Horton? Chris Horton. One of my favorite stories. Chris Horton, we have been in doing GIC just shortly got into it. We were just starting into this missions effort. And Chris Horton has done what no man had ever done before and no man has done since then. Come to my back and sat on the porch with me. It was great, on the back deck. And Chris just sat on the back deck with me, started talking to him, and he said, Danny, I got a question. All this mission stuff, I like it. How can I get involved in that? I do training. I do safety training. I'd love to do some leadership training. But how in the world does that fit in with missions? And I said, well, we'll just pray about it. And he said, you know, I can write my checks and do the stuff financial, but how else can you get involved in it? That GIC. We had a guy from what is now E3 came. Mike, wasn't it right? Jorgensen? Mike Jorgensen came. And Mike Jorgensen gets placed in with Chris Horton. And as he gets placed with Chris and his group, Mike says, you know what? We need somebody that can do leadership training. And all of a sudden, Chris looks around and he's saying, are you serious? He says, yeah. Could you think you could do this? I'll be more than glad to do that. He says, well, we've got a trip coming to Peru and we need somebody to do leadership training. And if you'd be willing to do that, we're going to do a bunch of training here. And then we're also going to go, we're going to do door-to-door witnessing and all that stuff. And Chris says, there's one caveat. I don't do door-to-door witnessing. I don't do that. I'm not into that. Am I correct? He says, I don't do door-to-door. He says, okay, just do the training. Now, in God's sense of humor, they place Chris on an airplane. He flies down to Peru, and as soon as he gets there and gets off the plane, they get ready to give him the itinerary for the week. They came to Chris and said, got bad news for you. The leadership training got canceled. Guess what, big fella? You're going door-to-door. Golly. So now he's got to go door to door. So he goes door to door, knocks on the first door. They're there with a translator. They present the gospel. And guess what? I think it was a mom and a daughter made a decision to receive Christ right there. He said, this is pretty cool. And they said, guess what? Come back tomorrow and bring discipleship materials. So they came back the next day. They brought their discipleship materials. And guess what? I think the dad was there and he prayed and he received Christ. And he says, we've seen three people come to know Christ right here. And then Chris came home and he says, guess what, Danny? I'm into door-to-door witnessing over here. He says, I'm loving this thing. And here Chris said, I've got a gift of training. And he stepped in the boat and says, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. And what God did was he began to stretch his understanding of who he is, because not only did he let Chris do something he felt uncomfortable with, but then all of a sudden Chris said, you know what? I think I'll start volunteering and doing part-time with E3. And today he is full-time. He's left his job and he's working full-time with E3 Ministries. Why is it? It's because he took that initial step in the boat and all of a sudden Jesus began to stretch his understanding of who he truly is. Let me tell you the second thing that will happen. It will strengthen you to face the challenges of life. It will strengthen you to face the challenges of life. What a difference it makes. These followers who stepped in the boat saw something about Jesus that no one else saw. They saw a storm come, and when the storm came, Jesus rebuked it and he calmed it down. And he calmed that. And when he did that, they said, if he can calm a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee, he can take care of anything else that happens in my life. That is such a difference between these people over here, because these people standing on the shore, they never saw that. Oh, they're just going around talking about how nice the water looked and how sweet they looked when they went off in the boat. And wasn't it nice to hear those little teachings that Jesus did? And that's it. And when storms came in their life, they weren't certain if Jesus could handle it or not, because they didn't have any experience in that. They're just hanging out on the shore. But these guys over here who'd been in the boat, these guys in the boat, you bring a storm into their life and they say, this same Jesus that rebuked the storm, he calmed the waves and the winds, this same Jesus can also take care of whatever storm is in my life. What a difference. You see, what happened is that he was strengthened to face the challenges of life. And whenever we step into that boat and we're willing to take that sacrifice, then all of a sudden he reveals more of himself and his power, and he'll strengthen us to face whatever the challenges of life are, because they're going to come, folks. I don't care how long you stand on the shore, you're going to have storms. I'd much rather be in the boat and be with him and take that step of faith and let him show me how he can unbelievably take care of all these major storms. And then whatever storm comes over here, I can handle it because of him. Did you notice the prayer brochures that we distributed? When we distributed prayer brochures, a number of places you saw no name, secure area, or a first name, secure area. Had a lot of secure areas in there. Do you know why that is? The reason is because if their name got out in the country that they're working in, it could compromise their life. And we forget about that. A number of our missionaries that are overseas live with a sense of danger. They're leading people to Christ. They're training pastors to be bold in sharing their faith, knowing that these pastors and these workers are going into harm's way. And they know that. And they know as they're loving on these people and they're helping someone to know Christ, and then they're sending them back into their families, they realize that at times they'll be rejected by their family. Now, I asked permission from Jeremy to read this email to you. This is an email that he had received from one of his missions pastors. And when we do training, and our missionaries are doing training and sending people back into difficult countries, this is just an idea of what they go through. He says, our good friend and co-worker, Shaheen, was beaten and arrested about 17 days ago by the secret police while doing evangelistic work. After 1 week of imprisonment, the authorities contacted his parents, who are not Christians, and they were allowed to talk with him for about 10 minutes. When Shaheen's close friends could not get in touch with him for over 1 week, they became very worried and finally contacted his parents, who told them that Shaheen was in prison and had been accused of conspiracy against the government, conspiracy against Islam, and collaboration with the enemy. That would be with Christians. The friends tried very hard to get into the prison to see Shaheen and were finally allowed to talk with him on the phone for a few minutes. Shaheen confirmed everything they knew. He also told them that his computer, cell phone, and recording equipment had been confiscated. He was forced to give his password, so the secret police now have access to all of his files, including the names of all of his friends and their phone numbers. One of his arms, one of his legs were broken. Apparently, while being interrogated, the prison authorities tried to remove his fingernails to cause him to confess to the crimes that he is accused of. While in extreme pain, Shaheen confessed to all just so they would stop tormenting him. He is afraid he may lose his sight because his head was beaten so badly. When I talked with our contact in the country today, I was told that Shaheen is still being kept in solitary confinement. Shaheen is in his mid-30s and has been actively involved in evangelism the last 2 years. This is what's taking place around the world. You see, these are people that are stepping in the boat, willing to accept whatever the sacrifice is. It's hard for me to read an email like that and then honestly to stand before you as a congregation and say, are you willing to give some money so that these other people who are stepping out, willing to give their own lives, that we can continue to fund our people, to lead people to Christ and to lead people in such a way that they're willing to give their own lives for the gospel? When we step into the boat, it's going to strengthen us to face our challenges of life. And let me just say the last thing, and that is when you step into the boat, it'll set you to take a big step of future, a big step of faith in the future. It'll set you up to take a big step of faith in the future. All I can think about is whenever you think about these guys in the boat, you think about another story when the storms came and it was Jesus walking across the water and Peter says, if that's you, Lord, let me call me to come out. And he said, come out. And then Peter took that step on the water. And as soon as he took that step on the water, unbelievable. He said, yeah, he sunk. Yeah, he did. But he took at least some steps. He got out of the boat, took some steps, an incredible step, and he would have never been able to do that if he had not gotten in the boat in the first place when he challenged him back in Matthew 8. And so whenever you step into the boat, you make that sacrifice and say, God, I'm willing to follow you wherever it is, then what he does is he sets you up to take a big step of faith in the future. But it starts with that step right now. And in just a few moments, I'm going to give you that opportunity to at least take a financial step to say, I'm willing to sacrificially make a commitment so that we can continue to spread the gospel around the world. I want to step in that boat. And when you take that step in the boat, guess what's going to happen? I think that God is going to take the step of commitment that you made, and he's going to set you up to take a big step of faith in the future. We have so many stories in this congregation. Brad and Allison Haynes, young couple, thinking that they had this desire for Africa, and they had been talking about it, but weren't certain if God was calling them. We assigned missionaries to Sunday school classes, and guess what? A missionary from Tanzania got assigned to their Sunday school class. After they began to talk to this individual, they both felt called, and guess what? They went over for 2 years to serve in Tanzania. Came back home, went stateside, delivered a baby, and after a while, they're going back overseas again. And then they've got friends of theirs that came, and when they came to visit them in Africa, they felt God had called them, and now they're ready to also feel that God's called them to go overseas. They took one small step, got in the boat, and God's done some amazing things to help them take the next step. Folks, it's just, are you willing to take that first step to get off the shore and in the boat? One last thing. I got an email earlier from Don and Lori Jones. And Don and Lori, y'all know them. They're folks that Don's just not real passionate about anything. And Don is passionate about missions, and he and Lori both. He said they brought all this group together that had done medical missions. And you realize that Don was in landscaping business. Lori was a doctor. And they both have gone full with E3 Ministries. And he said, we just tallied it up, and this is what's happened over the last years. We've taken 17 medical mission trips from 2001 to 2008. We have been involved with 418 mission team members, 935 national workers, that's believers that have worked with them from over 50 national partnering churches. We have seen 6,450 professions of faith, almost 2,200 follow-up discipleship visits, and 88 churches planted on three continents and in five international mission board regions around the world. 88 churches planted. That's unbelievable. And this is just one couple who started by stepping in a boat, by giving some money first, then by saying, we'll go on a mission trip. We may lead a mission trip. And then all of a sudden, God continues to get a hold of their heart. And now they look back and they say, you know what we're doing? We're making eternal impact. It's exciting. And so the question is, folks, this is for all of us. Where are you? Are you going to stand on the shore or are you going to step in the boat? It's my prayer today that every one of us would say, I don't want to be hanging here on the shore. I want to be where the action is, and I want to step in the boat. And it starts with us today, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for opportunity to open up your word and to give us a challenge. And Lord, help us to see the world around us and the incredible needs that we have. And we are such a blessed nation, and as individuals, we've been blessed. May we have our hearts prepared to be able to make commitments that are necessary for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.